The headlines at this hour: Chilean miners trapped 700 metres underground are set to be rescued shortly. Washington says it supports the removal of more Taliban militants from a UN blacklist. And a former White House correspondent says the US does not allow criticism of Israel.
This is the Press TV International News at 2300 hours international and 2:30 a.m. local in Tehran.
Thanks for joining us. Well, in Chile, the operation to pull out the 33 miners trapped in a mine is finally underway.
Well, thousands of people are waiting outside the San Jose mine to see the workers emerge from some 700 meters below the surface. Special metal capsules are being put in a position to extract the miners. These are live images of the same operation that I just explained that we are receiving from San Jose mine in Chile. Chilean President Sebastián Piñera has arrived at the copper mine to oversee the rescue operation. Florencino Avalos, a 31-year-old father of two, has been chosen as the first miner to be brought to surface. Once the evacuation starts, it will take about 48 hours to extract all of the men, that's 33 of them. Each miner will spend up to 15 minutes in a capsule sent down through a specially drilled shaft. They've been stuck in the mine for 68 days. These are live images, like I said, that we are receiving from San Jose mine in Chile. What those people are working on is the very capsule that is about to be sent to that cavern that now those 33 miners live, actually, and have been living there for the past 68 days. These are very crucial moments for the families of those miners who've been waiting in the tents that they've made around the San Jose mine, waiting for their loved ones to be rescued.
Well, now, the U.S. says it is open to the removal of more Taliban militants from the U.N. sanctions list. Washington says it can support an adjustment to the list to facilitate peace talks with the militants. A U.S. State Department spokesman says Washington has supported changes to the U.N. Security Council list in the past and can continue to do so in the future. A recent peace council in Afghanistan has proposed removing Taliban members from the blacklist. This to promote reconciliation and ultimately broker an end to the Afghan war. 45 Taliban militants, Al-Qaeda members and affiliates were removed from the list back in August. The individuals on the list are subject to asset freezes, a travel ban and an arms embargo. Earlier we were joined by Con Hallinan from Foreign Policy in Focus. We asked him what the point of the war against the Taliban is in the first place, if the Afghan government ends up holding peace talks with the militants.
I think the original idea behind the war was wasn't particularly directed at Al-Qaeda or the Taliban, for that matter. It was merely the first step toward the invasion of Iraq. The idea, when you take a look at the conversations that happened in the period after 9/11 between people in the Bush administration, it was quite clear that they didn't have the evidence to tie Iraq into 9/11, and so therefore they needed a kind of a way to bridge themselves into Iraq, and the invasion of Afghanistan was really just a preliminary for the invasion of Iraq. And it's also why the Bush administration, once having successfully driven the Taliban out of power, why it is they essentially dropped the ball in Afghanistan and ignored it, because that was never their particular focus in the first place.
An airplane has crashed into mountains near the Afghan capital Kabul, killing all people on board. An airport official says a cargo plane has crashed 7 kilometers east of the city. The plane, operated by National Air Cargo, burst into flames after crashing. The plane had an 8-member crew of Filipino, Indian, as well as Kenyan nationals. It was flying from Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan's east and was carrying supplies for U.S.-led NATO forces in the country. Afghan officials say the cause of the crash is not known yet.
Italy says it could begin withdrawing its troops in Afghanistan next summer. This as the nation mourns the 4 Italian soldiers who were killed in an ambush there last weekend. Press TV's Matthew Stevens reports from Rome.
As the US-led NATO operation in Afghanistan continues, the body count among Italian soldiers rises. State funerals were held for 4 of them in Rome's St. Mary of the Angels Basilica.
The 4 members of Italy's mountain troops, known as Alpini, were killed during attack by Taliban forces in the Golestan Valley in the western province of Farah.
According to an official statement by Foreign Minister Franco Frattini, the soldiers were attacked while escorting a convoy of civilian trucks. The deaths come just weeks after the previous Italian casualty in Afghanistan, that of Lieutenant Alessandro Romani. Prior to the funerals, a ceremony in honour of the 4 men was held in Rome's military airport of Ciampino, presided by Italian President Giorgio Napolitano and Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. During the ceremony, the grieving father of one of the dead soldiers is reported to have approached Italian Defence Minister Ignazio La Russa and to have said to him, quote, "Enjoy the show, Mr. Minister." Resentment among Italians is growing.
This mission is a farce. Afghanistan is in ruins and its people are suffering. We want our troops out.
We express our sympathy to the families of the soldiers killed in the conflict. However, we must review our presence in Afghanistan, as it is becoming a new Vietnam. We believe there is no military solution to the conflict and that the only way ahead is dialogue.
Despite criticism, the belief within the ruling coalition is that Italy must persist in its military efforts.
We can't, out of the blue, withdraw our troops. We are in Afghanistan as part of international forces, and we are there to fight terrorism. The Taliban are a threat, and we must fight them.
Italy has about 3,400 soldiers in Afghanistan. The current number of deaths among Italian soldiers is 34.
These are just the latest in the ever-growing number of those who have lost their lives for what, in Italy, goes under the questionable name of peace mission. Matthew Stevens, Press TV, Rome.
Let's take you back to one of the earlier stories that we aired for you on that rescue mission that is, as I talk to you, taking place in San Jose Mine in Chile. Just for those of you who might not have followed the news, which I'm sure all of you have, during the past 2 months, actually, 33 miners of Chile have been trapped after a mine collapsed. Mine of copper and gold, apparently. The images that you are watching right now are the live ones that we are receiving from San Jose Mine itself. There is a capsule, that thing, that rocket-like thing, the back of which is towards your screens right now, that looks like the back of a rocket, some kind of a rocket-looking thing. That is actually a capsule that has been designed specifically for this rescue operation that has been planned in Chile, which many said will not take place at the time that I talked to you. They were all thinking that the rescue operation of those miners will be done in about 7-8 months, but with 24 hours drives of all those technicians in Chile, it has been possible. In the next few minutes, we're going to see some groundbreaking images of as I imagine, this is the first time in history of mining that this is taking place, that that capsule is sent to about 700 meters underground. It is going to take about 15 minutes to reach to the cavern where those 33 miners are now trapped. Then one by one, they're going to be rescued, pulled up to the surface. I'm thinking that actually this is what I've read during the past couple of days, that they're going to be kept in some rooms which is a little bit dark, and they're going to be given some kind of a sunglasses because of their eyes that have not been accustomed to the sunlight during the past 68 days. So it's going to be totally deleterious to their eyes, especially to be exposed to sunlight. This is just part of this groundbreaking event and effort of those Chilean mine workers who are at the scene to rescue their comrades. The families of those miners, of course, have been crowding around the mine for, I'm thinking, about the past 2 months, actually asking the authorities to speed up the rescue operation for their loved ones. Authorities, we are hearing, are going to be present at the scene, including Sebastián Piñera, the president of Chile, to view this historic moment in Chile by himself. Of course, Press TV is going to keep an eye on the events of San Jose mine in Chile today. And you can watch, of course, live on Press TV, and check out the latest on that on our website, which is olderws.presstv.ir. Be with Press TV, please. And former White House correspondent Helen Thomas, of course, says no one in the United States can criticize Israel and survive.
Indeed, well, Thomas was forced to resign in June after calling on Israel to, quote, get out of Palestine. The 90-year-old veteran journalist stands by her comments. She says even though she touched a raw nerve with her remarks, they were exactly what she thought. While insisting that her comments were not anti-Semitic, Thomas says they were distorted as such to feed the Israeli propaganda machine. This so Tel Aviv can continue the land grab in Palestine. To discuss this more, we're joined on the phone from Atlanta by Cynthia McKinney, former U.S. Congresswoman. Welcome to the program. Helen Thomas says no one in the U.S. can criticize Israel and survive. Do you agree?
Well, I think the issue is right now people are paying attention to Israel because of the repeated attacks that people have endured as a result of efforts to break the blockade of Gaza. And while the Israelis might claim that the that their actions toward Gaza are legal, the international community sees otherwise. And not only in the United States is this a problem, we have seen that calling Israel to task for the things that it does that are wrong and that are abominations to all of those of us who respect human rights and want to protect human dignity is a problem. The United Nations has a problem. Look at what happened with Judge Goldstone when he wrote a report that just told the truth about what Israel did with respect to Operation Cast Lead.
Well, why is it that the U.S. is so strongly committed to protecting Israel, I mean, despite the fact that Israel has violated several U.N. resolutions, is technically at war with many regional countries, and is seen as a major violator of human rights? Don't other journalists see this?
Well, it's not that the United States is intent on protecting Israel. The status of Israel, or the status that Israel enjoys, is the result of a very active, well-financed lobby that protects the interests of Israel. And that's not just in the United States. I sit on the Bertrand Russell Tribunal on Palestine, which will be meeting the next few days, in the next few days in London. And after London, we will go to South Africa, where we will actually compare what Israel is constructing to what the state apparatus of apartheid was. So Israel has learned to protect its interests all over the world because it has an active lobby that protects its interests no matter what the political system is. What the rest of us need, including right here in the United States, is a well-financed, well-organized people's lobby that protects justice and that protects peace.
All right, we'll leave it there. Many thanks to Cynthia McKinney, former U.S. Congresswoman from Atlanta there.
It is about a quarter to 3 a.m. in Tehran, and here is a reminder of our top stories for this hour. Well, like I said, the Chilean miners trapped 700 meters underground are set to be rescued shortly from now. Washington says it supports the removal of more Taliban militants from a UN blacklist. And a former White House correspondent says the United States does not allow criticism of Israel.